You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's time to get inside the Giants' home.
Let's go, let's go, let's go!
On Giants.com.
I like it.
And the Giants mobile app.
Boom. Give me some juice!
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's roll!
Welcome to another edition of the Giants Huddle Podcast, brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the New York Football Giants. I am John Schmelk. The Giants 2024 draft class has visited the building. Rookie minicamp is going to be on their way, and we're going to start getting to know some of these guys. So we're going to start here with the Giants' third-round pick, Andrew Phillips, out of Kentucky, and to join us to talk about him, Kentucky's co-defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach, Chris Collins, who is on the road recruiting right now. Chris, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate the invite. John, we'll do anything for my guy Andrew, man. He's a phenomenal human. Excited about the opportunity he has there with you guys in New York.
All right, so why don't we start with this? Because, you know, I've watched the tape. I've got to know the guy as a player, but I don't know Andrew as a guy. I met him here for 5 minutes when he was here a week ago doing his press conference, right? So tell me about Andrew Phillips, the guy.
Man, first of all, great family. You know, so he has a great support structure and a great foundation. Both parents, you know, siblings, they're very close in age and in terms of their relationship. And so that's kind of, I think, where it starts for him, you know, his family background. They were very influential in his time here, in his development here. From there, man, phenomenal teammate. You know, there's a lot of different stories, man. I'm sure we'll get into a few, but to where he was able to exemplify himself being a great teammate and a guy that, you know, really grew in terms of our culture, right, and in terms of who he is at today. In our program. And so, you know, you talk about just Andrew Phillips in a nutshell, man, you know, a selfless guy that's going to do anything he possibly can to help the people around him be successful. And I think that carries over to him individually.
Yeah. His dad was a linebacker at Kentucky, right? If I remember, Did you get the sense when you coached him and you met him that his dad was a former athlete and you kind of helped him prepare him for that moment in his life? So he kind of knew what he was getting into heading into the program.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I you know, there's a level of growth that I was able to see, you know, throughout my time with Andrew. But his parents, you know, again, they were very involved, but they were never, you know, hands-on in terms of our process. You know what I mean? They let him grow. They supported us in the things that we needed to do, you know, the tough love and all those things that are necessary to help you develop as a young man. And at the college level. And, you know, so to answer your question about his dad being a college athlete, I think he understood that, you know, to kind of give that distance enough to where, hey, you know, Coach Collins and Coach Stoops and Coach White, the guys are going to have their hands on you, Coach Ed, Coach Hill, those guys in the weight room. And I let that process take its due approach and go through that time of maturation the way every young man hopefully can.
You mentioned you have some good anecdotes or stories of him kind of exemplifying what type of teammate he was. Can you share some of those with us just so fans get an idea for how he's going to fit into that Giants locker room?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, we had an opportunity. It was my, I think, second year, and so, you know, Drew was going in spring practice, playing really, really, really good football. You know, some people look at, hey, he only played as the outside corner 1 year, you know, as a negative, but we really saw it as a positive. But going into that season, you know, he had almost solidified himself as an outside and an inside guy, right? So that would put him 2 years playing the position. We ended up bringing in a transfer who was, you know, a guy by the name Keetra Smith, who was a great teammate as well, you know, a real pro about his approach. And I had 1 year left in terms of eligibility. And, you know, they went into fall camp neck and neck, you know, and throughout fall camp battling it out for that outside corner position. And, you know, again, based off of the spring, based off of going into fall camp, those guys rotated in the first two games. And Kedron going into the Florida game, you know, had a pick six, you know, had an incredible game. He was from Florida, so played really well in front of his whole crowd. And from that on moment forward, we chose to go on with Kedron being the starting outside corner and Drew starting at our nickel. And at that point, he could have very well, you know, what some kids will choose to do, pouted, complain. We brought him in and had the conversation, you know, with, you know, how we were going and direction we were moving and the plan and the process in that, you know. But he didn't bat an eye. I mean, he didn't bat an eye. His response was, "Coach, I want to play football and do whatever I can to help the team win." And in this day and age, you don't always get that response, you know, especially with the easy out of being able to say, "Hey, I'm on red shirt, jump in the portal," you know, and so he could have very well have taken that approach, but again, a phenomenal teammate stood on that, and again, it benefited him in the long term just as much because we were honest and upfront about his process and his growth. But I think that just kind of speaks to the volume of who he is as a person.
You know, you mentioned how much you saw him grow in your time there coaching him. What were some of the aspects of his game that you really did see improve? And how was he as a worker in terms of being self-motivated, weight room, you know, classroom, in the actual classroom? And then, you know, watching film on the side, doing more of that what was required of you.
The athletic traits were always there, right? And so, you know, you talked about the working mentality. I think athletically, in terms of the movement of the position, the weight room, those things were always there, right? He always had the desire to go out and put extra field work in, or, you know, do extra in the weight room. Because God blessed him in that regard. Like, he had some unique traits that helped him play this game at a high level. Where he grew and was willing to grow. Most importantly, he was an active participant in this process of learning the game. And I think that's where his development over the last, you know, three seasons that I had him, you know, really took off. And it was intentional work. It didn't just happen. Like, it was a plan about it. All right, let's be responsible for that plan. And again, be an active participant in that process. And so you mentioned, which area did he grow in? He always had the tools, right? But it was about when to use those tools, how to use those tools. And so the mental aspect of the game, I think, is where you were able to see the most growth. And the average fan looks at it as, man, that was a good play. But there's a lot of things that go into those, making those plays and being in those positions and knowing when and when not to take those chances. And I think we saw that, and you were able to see that in this film. But that was the area in which he grew tremendously. And it was intentional. Like I said, it was a process that it didn't just happen overnight. He had to be conscious about it and continue to work, and develop the habit of doing it.
And I got to imagine having to make that, you know, position change during the season, like you talked about, you know, I know the outside cornerback spot is the glamour spot, but you can argue the inside slot spot, it's harder. You have a two-way go. You have more responsibilities in the run game. You can blitz. There's a lot of stuff going on playing that slot spot. It's messy. I got to imagine that was as much of it as a change for his responsibilities on the field. That's got to put a strain on a kid mentally a little bit too, right?
John, I can tell you're a football guy, all right, because you get it, right? Those are two different worlds, right? Playing outside and playing inside, they're two different worlds, man. And to your point, you know, the him moving inside and having to digest that helped him grow as a football player, right? Because now the pieces around me are happening so much quicker, right? And the things around me matter a lot more instead of just being out on that island where it's one versus one a lot of the time. That definitely helped his maturation process. That helped his growth, accelerated it, you know, because he fully dove into it and didn't resist it. Does that make sense? And a lot of guys may have, in his shoes, could have and would have, you know, but he didn't.
You love turf. You're good at it. So you start a turf biz. Business grows. Your savings grow. Become the most celebrated name in turf. Are you ready for all that life brings?
The Giants Huddle is brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the New York Giants. From game day to every day, Citizens is made ready for fans with insights, guidance, and solutions. Learn more at citizensbank.com. You know, and how much was your guys' decision to put him in there? How much did it have to do with your confidence in him to be able to tackle in there? You know, you watch him on tape. The one thing that you see, that dude's willing to tackle. Some corners don't want to tackle. Andrew looks like he wants to not just tackle. He wants to put the guy down that he's trying to tackle. How much was his physicality and his willingness to do that dirty work part of the reason that you had felt confident putting him inside into that slot spot?
Yeah. That spoke, you know, it spoke exactly to a big piece of it. Again, he had the athletic traits to be in there, but the physicality, and he showed that from a young player all the way through in terms of his tenacity on special teams, dog-like mentality on special teams. And so that's kind of the truest and rawest form of football, right? Can you play in space? Can you make tackles, get off blocks, block people in space, make guys miss, things of that nature? And he was able to do those things on special teams. And so we felt confident about his ability to transition into that role. And again, he's one of those guys that seeks it out, you know what I mean? You know, in terms of the big hit, the physicality, and being an enforcer and putting a stamp on the game in that regard, just as much as the skill set. And so the mental aspect in terms of the willingness to do it was there. Now it was about how, right? How to do it, when to do it, how to be strategic in those big hits, you know, and continue to clean up those fundamentals to be able to get it done on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and you talk about consistent tackling. I did see some times on tape watching him tackle where maybe not wrapping up as much as you might like. He goes in, he makes the big hit, but doesn't quite bring the guy down. As a guy that, you know, under 200 pounds, not the biggest guy in the world, trying to get that form tackling on some of that stuff where you're not just trying to lay the big hit, but you need to try to get the guy down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's growth. You know, that's growth. And it's funny because, you know, playing outside, I think, kind of adds a little bit to that than playing inside, because it happens so fast playing inside, right? You're only got, boom, but playing outside, now you've got time and space, right? And so being able to understand when to take those shots and continue to press through those fundamentals. But he grew in that regard, man. And, you know, it's funny. I'm one of the most critical people. Like, we practice tackle in terms of approach angles, right, finishes, more than probably most DBs do, you know. Some guys love it. Some guys like, come on, tackle us over. But this is part of the game. It's really part of the game that we got to be good at. But to that point, like, that was something that I was really critical on about throughout the years. Hey, man, let's be fundamentally sound on all of these things. And he took that, you know, he took it at heart. And you saw in the back half of the season, some of those big shots that he was maybe missing earlier in the year, he wasn't missing those same plays. And so, you know, again, the intentionality about his work. And that's why I think he's going to be successful. I know he's going to be successful because he's intentional. He's a sponge that wants to grow. And he's willing, you know, to be a participant in that process.
I'm sure you got a lot of questions from NFL scouts coming through your program. Where do you think he was better? Was he better inside? Where was he better outside? What did you tell him when you were asked those questions?
Yeah, I think he has a high instinct for the game. All right. And I say that word instincts carefully, right? Because, you know, some people lean on it a little bit too much, you know, but I think a lot of he was able to grow in that in understanding when to trust those instincts. And so being able to play in the slot allows you a little bit more freedom to trust those instincts than necessarily playing outside when, hey, if I don't make it, nobody will type scenario. And so I think day one, those instincts can help him in the slot be successful right away. And then as he grows, I think he has position versatility. I really do. I mean, of course, he showed at the college level, but he's a willing worker. And so I think that doesn't limit him to just being a corner. I think as he grows in his career, he'll be able to digest more because of the willingness to be a sponge and not to feel like, hey, I got it figured out. But to start off, you know, in the slot, I think he'll be most comfortable at the NFL level in his first season, second season, and growing from there to add more versatility to his game.
And that's where the Giants are going to start him out. So I think you guys had a good conversation and they listened to what you had to say for sure. I know you guys played mostly off coverage, right? Well, when you guys teach that off coverage, and when I watch him, he's kind of watching the route combinations, the quarterback at the same time. How do you coach that up in terms of where you want your DB's eyes when you're playing that kind of zone off coverage type of scheme?
Yeah, vision is key. You know, vision, I mean, it's the eyes are key to the soul, man. I tell them guys all that. If you play with dirty eyes, you're going to have a dirty heart, man. We don't need a dirty heart, man. Bad things happen. And so understanding, right, my vision points, right, understanding my depth, right, understanding my visual keys are really, really important, you know, to being successful, especially in our scheme, because we are able to play with vision on the quarterback at times and give our guys chances to be able to make some plays on the football that you wouldn't always get a lot of the opportunity man-to-man, just strictly eyes on man coverage. And so training those eyes, man, as a DB are vital. And to answer that question, it kind of is coverage-based, technique-based, right, alignment-based, right? Sure. And so when you get into these NFL interviews with teams and he's able to articulate and communicate those things, I think they understand, whoa, man, this guy understands football, right? He understands the detail, the level of communication it takes to be successful. You know, and our defensive coordinator, Coach White, does a great job in terms of, hey, let's break these really complex systems down, right, so these guys can digest it. But as they grow, being able to get from level one to level two, level three, and understanding when I can take chances, as we talked about earlier, when I shouldn't take those same chances, understanding, you know, where to place my eyes in this coverage versus another coverage. And so there's not a direct, hey, man, this is what he's looking at, because it all depends on what we're doing. But I will say that understanding those pieces allows him to be able to be a guy that has versatility in what he's able to bring to a football team.
No, I get what you're saying. And, you know, I always tell fans, without understanding what the coaches are telling the player their responsibility is on a play, you're watching, you know, you can see certain things when you're watching tape and you're not in there, but until you actually sit down with the player and you find out why they're doing what they're doing, you don't really have an appreciation for how well they're actually executing what you guys are asking him to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. It was funny. I was walking through a school today and, you know, we were talking and so on and so forth, and we got on the subject and they were saying, hey, a guy was getting cooked in this game, X, Y, and Z, and I won't name the game or where I was at, but I was like, actually, he graded out really high in that game. You know, we just see he's the closest guy to the football, but he's actually doing his job and making up for somebody else. But that's all we see as fans, right? Hey, that guy's the closest guy to the football. So it must have been his blown assignment, his responsibility why that guy caught the football, or so on and so forth. And so, you know, to that point, man, a lot of it, you know, the devil's in the details, we like to say. And so, you know, understanding those details is really important. And that allows you to play with confidence. You know, you know the plays I should make, you know the plays I shouldn't make, based off of what the strengths and the weaknesses of the calls are. And so, you know, when I make that play, man, I know I should have made that play. And when I don't make that play, hey, that play isn't all on my shoulders, right? There's responsibilities of his coaches because of the play call didn't put you in a position to be successful versus that play. And so I think that builds a level of confidence too.
You know, you mentioned how playing that off and off coverage, reading the quarterback, reading the, you know, formations, route combinations, gives you a chance to make plays on the ball. And it's funny, watching his tape, he breaks on the ball well. I think he's ahead of the game in terms of anticipating. You mentioned instincts in the first answer you gave, but he never managed to get a pick over his course of his career at Kentucky. Yeah. And I'm sure that drove him absolutely nuts because he's around the ball all the time. And I try to explain this to people too. You know, a lot of times getting interceptions, same way you're getting sacks, you don't have control over some of this stuff, right? Like the quarterback's got to make a mistake sometimes for you to get the pick. Yeah. Was that just a matter of him not having the fortunate circumstances of, you know, being in a position when a ball gets tipped or the guy gets hit as he throws? Was that just one of those circumstances where he couldn't manage to get a pick over his course of his time there with you guys?
Yeah, John, I'll say it again, man, you're on it. Because when you watch the film, there he's in position. But again, a lot of the times the quarterback's like, hey, I'm not going to give him an opportunity with this throw. And sometimes, you know, as a coach, you're trying to protect the player from themselves, right?
Yeah, of course.
In terms of, want to go get it. Hey, man, you're in great position. Let's not, what our guys like to use, bait the quarterback and make a play that I could have made really, really good, a really bad play because I was trying to do something extra. And Drew, to his credit, man, as bad as, you know, the times where he wanted to go make a play, coach, I was going to jump that route. I knew it was coming. But that wasn't your responsibility, was it? No, it wasn't. He's, again, going back to a team guy. He's going to do his responsibility to the best of his ability play in and play out. And some of those opportunities, because he was so tight in coverage and so sticky, the quarterback chose not to to go his way. And then there were some other plays that were there was some air, and the quarterback put the ball in position where there was only an opportunity to bat the ball down and make a PBU. And so that, you know, that quick judgment to be able to make those decisions, right, and be able to make the play on a consistent basis, what we care about. Because there are going to be opportunities. Because, again, he, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but in the spring, he was the led our defense in production, like, in terms of interceptions and all that stuff. So he can catch the football, right? It's just about, you know, hey, in the spring, quarterback's a little looser with that ball, you know, than they're going to be in the fall. You know what I mean? Hey, it's not people in, it's not people in the stands, man. You know, so there's a reality to that. And again, there's some guys where the ball just falls their way, and you look up, man, they got 3-4 interceptions. But then you watch the tape, and, man, the fundamentals are way off. And so I would, as a coach, man, again, trying to protect the player from themselves, I'd rather have it the other way around, right? And then that ball will eventually find you. It'll find you doing the right things.
You're ready for a change. Payday comes early with Citizens, so go to that retreat. New you moves to the country. Now you're raising goats and launching a lifestyle brand. Are you ready for all that life brings?
Giant fans love a winner. It's why they love Citizens, named a 2022 Best Bank in the U.S. by The Banker. As the official bank of the Giants and sponsor of the Giants Huddle podcast, Citizens is made ready for fans of Big Blue. Learn more at citizensbank.com. How much did you guys work press man and more traditional man-to-man stuff in practice? Because obviously, like, you know, a lot of off stuff in games, there is some man there. So, but in the NFL, you know how it goes. Third down, third and long, sometimes you're going to blitz, you're going to be in man-to-man. So how ready is Andrew to step in? And in that, again, very difficult slot spot, we got a two-way goal against some very quick guys. Will he be adept at going into man-to-man when they need him to at the pro level?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We play a good bit of zone, but a lot of our zone is Ripley's concept. So it turns into man based off what spacing I get.
So you basically match the guy in your area and then you follow him,
yeah,
right? Basically how it goes.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
That's right. Yep. Based off of what concept and spacing. But to answer your question about specifically press, we work it every day. Like, that's a skill that you can – it's like golf swing, right? You can never get enough work at it, right? And the moment you feel like you got enough work at it, you're going backwards, right? And so we work literally every day. And he's one of our better guys. Now, his position in terms of playing in the slot, we didn't ask him to do a lot of pressing in the slot. Just, well, we were being man-to-man coverages. He would just be off and playing a dire scooch technique. But out wide, playing the field corner, just because of the spacing, you don't get as many opportunities when the man-to-man is actually called to play down. And so, again, because we play off coverage a lot of the times, or we play zone coverage, I should say, not giving that quarterback the easy tail, you know, to where, hey, man, that DB is in, man, you know, easy tail for him to walk down and press it. Hey, play it all, play with man vision, you know, and now you're able to go make some plays and, you know, play kind of stands out to him versus Louisville. They ran a hitch, him being off coverage, right? He's in man coverage. They think he's in zone, right? He's going to be late to that zone. No, he's in man. Boom, he gets the PBU, you know, because he allowed them to think what he wanted them to think, you know, in terms of playing off. And I should, you know, that's our rival, so I hope they don't hear that. But then they'll go back and change it next year. Hey, man, what he's got? But no, to that point, he works it every day. He's conscious about it, man. And that's one of his areas I think he really excels. It's just kind of the timing of when and where to do it.
I got two more for you, Coach. When I was going through a lot of these SEC cornerbacks, they'd look great. And then they'd show up and either Ladd McConkey or Ricky Pearsall's there or one of those Texas wide receivers, and they're running by him, right? And those guys are really good. But I watched the game where Andrew, he lined up against Pearsall a couple of times against Florida. He ran with them. I thought he did a really good job in some of those premier matchups.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of our league, man. Like, week in and week out, you know, you're going to play
tough.
Every week, Coach. Like, it doesn't end. Every week, man. It's like, we just – you got through that one. Oh, here we go again. To guys who play in the SEC, especially at corner, man, the level of freak talent athlete that you're going against on a week in and week out basis, man, is second to none in my opinion. But to your point about playing some of those top guys, man, he embraced the challenge. You know, he embraced the challenge every week about, man, put me on the guy. And sometimes you win all those matchups, you know, and sometimes you don't. You know, that's a reality of it, man. And mental and physical toughness is an important piece of playing football, especially the corner position. And at times, man, he fought through some injuries to where guys would have said, you know what, I'm not 100%. I'm not going to be out there, but I want to be out there for my team. And Drew did that. in some ball games that that people may have looked at and said, man, he didn't play the best. Yeah, because he wasn't his 100%, but he would have never used it as a crutch or as an excuse. I'm out there. I'm giving everything I can to go play. And so, again, he was excited about the matchup, but it was a lot of guys in the league that he looked forward to playing and, you know, was able to elevate, you know, at those moments.
A final question on more of a precise technique. When you guys end up playing trail in deep, right? He's running deep with a guy. Do you train them to play the hands in the ball, or do you train your DBs to get their eyes back at the ball and kind of play it in the air? Because I know depending on what system you're in, some guys want you to play the ball hitting the hands. They never actually look back. Other coaches want you to get your head back at the ball. I thought when I watched him that he was getting his head back on the quarterback a lot of the times. How do you guys teach that on those deep balls down the field?
Yeah, so that's a two-answer question.
Yeah, go
first,
ahead.
It depends on whether they're in phase or out of phase versus just that vertical one-on-one ball, right? If they're in phase, man, we're pinning the hips, we're getting eyes back, and we're turning to the receiver. Also, depending on what coverage they're in, right? If they're in a true man-to-man call where they only have to worry about that one receiver, then, yes, they're playing with man eyes back, and they're going to locate the football once they're in phase, but they'll do it through a man turn mentality, right? So my eyes are on my guy and I take my eyes to the sky and being able to locate that football. If I'm out of phase, right? And that's different for the size, the length of a guy, right? In terms of that space from that receiver, right? I'm not in a position to look back and play the football. So now I'm playing strictly the man through the pocket is what we reference. And we're trying to get to the opposite hand as we're punching to that small target, the football, to that big target, which is that opposite elbow, and trying to be violent on the rake. And so there's a couple of clips, and we practice those things relentlessly. Now, I mean, relentlessly, like press and the deep ball are things that we're going to work on every opportunity basis. Some days, just because of practice style, you don't get a chance to, right, walk through days and things of that nature. But we're going to practice those all the time. And, again, the separators are the ones that are willing to do the extra work. And Drew's willing to do that extra work, and he was able to grow in playing the deep ball down the field this season in comparison to last season and the season before. So, again, it kind of goes back to what kind of man he is, young man he is, and excited about his future. But to answer your question, in phase, out of phase is really the defining moment for those guys. Am I in phase? Yes. Boom. Okay. I pin the hip. I find the football. Take my eyes to the sky. Don't find the quarterback. Turn into the receiver mentality. If I'm out of phase, man, I'm playing through the man, right? I'll shoot through the glove hand and I'll break that opposite elbow as violently as I possibly can and try to make him, you know, you guys had a lot of them, Odell catches, right? One hand, snatch them out there. We want to make him be that guy if we're out of phase. You know what I mean?
No, that makes total sense. And final question, Coach, completely off topic. So, I'm doing some summer scouting. We'll get to 2025. I forget his name already. Number zero, your big defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Dude, that guy, he reminds, and look, I don't say this lightly because I understand how good of a player he is. That dude reminds me of Dexter Lawrence. To be that size and to move that well, my gosh, he is going to be a hell of a player. Holy cow, is he good.
Yeah, the good Lord laid his hands on that one now. You know, look at but Deion, man, Deion's, again, we talk about, like, people, man. He's a great person, you know, and he's continued to get better. We're excited about him. He makes me sleep a little bit better as a DB coach, you know, knowing we got a big 6'7", man running around chasing those quarterbacks, making it uncomfortable for him, you know. And so we're excited about where his growth is and where he is going into this season. But again, another one that's a high-character guy, man, that's, you know, wired the right way. So, you know, he's going to be successful at whatever he chooses to do.
Well, Coach, best of luck. Continue your recruiting. I'll leave the floor open to you. Anything that you want to tell the folks about with you, your program, any charities, anything like that, the floor is yours. Promote whatever you like, my friend.
Man, I just thank you guys for taking the time. You know, blessed to be in the opportunity that we're in, man. I want to thank man upstairs, right? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I always, anytime I get an opportunity, I want to acknowledge him, man. But, you know, we've got some guys at your guys' program, you know, that are, you know, through our program in terms of the blueprint of our program, right? Tough, right? Mentally and physically, you know, guys who are great teammates that want to continue on the path of success, and hopefully we can keep that pipeline going because we've got a lot of young men in the building who are working towards being the best version of themselves. And so, you know, blessed to do what I do, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. John, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we've been very happy with Wando Robinson, too. You guys develop some really, really good kids down there, man. You guys do a hell of a job. Appreciate it, Coach. Chris Collins, defensive coordinator, co-defensive coordinator, and defensive backs coach for the University of Kentucky. Chris, good stuff, my friend. Thanks for joining us on the Giants Huddle Podcast, everybody. It's brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the Giants. We'll see you next time.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.